Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alpha, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Brian Johnson is the latest and probably the most well-known name to pop up for the Texans OC job. He was with the Commanders this past season, so he's got a little of that Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury success on him right now. He was the OC for the Eagles last year. They fired him after 1 year to move on to Kellen Moore. The offense wasn't bad. They did have issues picking up blitzes, so that might be a concern to you, considering the Texans and their issues with picking up generic stunts and twists. Jalen Hurts and that offense did not do well with six-man, seven-man pressures. He was also the quarterback coach there for a couple years before that. Brian Johnson, mostly because I love college football, his name's been out there for a while. He coached under Urban Meyer. I think he played under Urban Meyer, actually. At Utah, and then he became the quarterback coach right after that there. So he has been on the college level and the NFL level for a while. Now, I won't indict him because he's moving around a lot, but I don't remember a lot of great offenses under Brian Johnson, watching his teams, whether he was at Florida, he was here with the Cougs for a year in 2017. He doesn't have a great track record of putting good offenses on the field. His best offense, and you might just put that on the fact that he had Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, was that Eagles offense. They were good the year before and made the Super Bowl. They were just fine. They did have, as I mentioned, that fatal flaw, and part of the reason why it cost him his job. So he will be interviewed today. There's another candidate from the Minnesota Vikings who will come in. So we're at this point, either, if you want to call Brian Johnson a retread or just well-traveled, it's those types and then guys with no experience at calling plays on the NFL level. That's kind of how the hiring process goes. Of course, that's why the Chip Kelly name is so attractive. We just don't know that he's ever going to interview because he's not interviewing with anyone right now. So the Bill Lazor one is the one that concerns me the most, because if I start to look at his numbers from when he was an OC, and like I said before we went to break, these are simply just total yardage numbers, not advanced statistics, stuff you can find on Pro Football Reference if you go to his seasons. With the Bengals, he was with the Bengals in 17 and 18. They had the 32nd ranked offense in yards in 17, 26 and 18. He was with the Bears in 20 and 21. In 20, 26 ranked offense in yards, 24th in 2021. So we're talking about bottom 10 offenses in his most recent coaching gigs as an OC. Now, the talent certainly plays a part. The Andy Daltons of the world, the Mitch Trubisky's, Justin Fields in Chicago. So there is some of that where he didn't have great quarterbacks, but he wasn't elevating them at all. No. He wasn't making those offenses even average. They were bad. And so I'm not sure what the attraction is other than he was in our building.
Which shouldn't be an attraction because you fired the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
And behind the scenes, and we don't know this, but unless behind the scenes he was like, oh my God, what does Bobby Slowik want us to do? unless he was like disagreeing and he was butting heads with Bobby Slowik constantly.
I don't feel like that's likely.
What are we doing?
Exactly. What are we doing? Nick Caley had his interview. He is a guy beyond the fact that he was in the vicinity of Sean McVay. He also
nice. Love that.
It's always a good thing to be able to be in sniffing distance of offensive genius because it'll always run off on you and you'll be great too. He also went to John Carroll University, a place where Nick Casario went to school. So there's a connection there as well. So if you're wondering why Nick Caley might be an option, Nick probably knows him, at least from that. And also, that's a place I was telling Sean during the break, that particular school breeds NFL coaches and executives. Josh McDaniels went to that school. The Polians went to that school. So it's a place where if you're looking for a guy who might eventually become part of an NFL team, that's the school that produces them. It ain't the same as a university that produces athletes. I mean, I think it's less impressive, but still impressive. And maybe that's why Nick Caley has a real shot at the job. I'm not comforted by the options right now.
No,
I would actually prefer the unknown over the Brian Johnsons or the Bill Lazors of the world, because at least I don't know failure from you. I just know that I don't. All I know from you is that you coach next to a genius.
Yeah.
I take that over the failure part. Because the other guy's from Minnesota, so he's near Kevin O'Connell.
I like that.
That's better than producing bottom 10 offenses for the Bengals
and the
Bears.
Yeah. I originally did want someone with experience, but if this is the experience we're getting, that's where it kind of seesaws back to, take a chance on a guy. Maybe you get the next Bobby Slowik.
That's not
in a good way.
What's the good way? The first year?
Year one.
They were an average offense in year one, but at least it was a surprise. It was a surprise because you had CJ Stroud and he played well. I don't need 1 year of being good or average and then the second year being awful. I don't want Bobby Slowik. I don't want D'Amico Ryans to have 2 years with the guy and have to fire him because he's so awful in year two. We want what we thought we were going to get with Bobby Slowik. Wow, the Texans are going to be able to keep him.
Yeah. You want that problem of like, oh my God, what if Nick Caley leaves in 2 years?
Remember that?
Then what?
Remember that? That's the summer, this last summer, how, man, the Texans better get all they can out of Bobby Slowik because he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And then, we were right. He was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. That
for the wrong reasons.
He has to maybe not. I was going to say he has to be one of the few NFL coaches that year one of being a play caller got head coaching interviews, year two fired. That has to happen. That he has to be the only guy whose like stock went up and then down that fast.
He went from he coached with Shanahan to being one of the hot names in coaching to mud because he ruined C.J. Stroud.
And to like add even more degree of difficulty to this thing that's impossible to look up, because how do you look up?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. But to make the playoffs, win your division
twice
both years,
and still get fired. Yeah, win a playoff game.
As a young hotshot OC.
Don't get a year three. So it's either young hotshot or middle-age retread. Bill Lazor is older than Brian Johnson, but Brian Johnson, as I said, has been coaching for a long time. He's a little younger because he started coaching right after his college career was over. So, not inspiring names for the guys who've done this before. Let's broaden this, please. Broaden it.
It does feel like there's only a very few offensive coordinator candidates. They're not a very few, but just like they're all different versions of the same guy, it feels like, where you have in this part you have the uninspiring retreads, then you have the I once stood next to Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, and then I'm not Chip Kelly, but I do have, if you look at my resume, I do have a connection to Chip Kelly.
We were in the same room.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's just the Sean McVay thing, just with Chip Kelly. But that's really all the – and then you were here last year.
Yes, which is what Lazor is retread and you were here last year.
Yes.
Gerard Johnson is you're just unproven here. And you were here last year. So they're covering all their bases. You know, Chip Kelly is a college coach. There are other college coordinators you might be able to look at.
Oh, Jeff Nixon. Jeff Nixon.
There it is. There's the one.
He stands alone.
No. Chip Kelly connection as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then never mind. You're in the Chip Kelly bucket.
So they've interviewed one college OC, but connection with Chip Kelly. You can go after other guys who have no connection with Chip Kelly who produce good offenses on the college level, too.
I might be on team Jeff Nixon.
As far as the best
to hire,
the
to
best
hire,
of the yeah. average options?
Yes. If I have to pick one. If on Friday we're doing the thing, gun to your head, who do you want to be the head coach on Monday? I would say you don't need to put a gun to my head.
Yeah, it's not necessary. I mean, it's just a question you're asking.
I'm just picking guys.
I'll answer it. You don't
picking
have to
guys whose names I didn't know 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
I think I want Jeff Nixon.
I would agree. At least I've seen that offense at work, not just punishing my Miami team, but I've seen
why you want him gone. Make the ACC easier.
Yeah. I'm not concerned. Mark Chrisball's head coach. Nothing's going to be easy. I don't have to worry about that. But at least I've seen that offense work.
Yeah.
Well, now, will it work on the NFL level? Whatever. But I've seen it work. These other guys, I've seen their offenses not work on the NFL level. I've seen that happen.
And I do feel like we are getting to a tipping point. And maybe McVay is different than Shanahan. But I do feel like we're getting to a tipping point where, like, running a Shanahan offense, like, there's 20-something teams in the league that run this. Like,
there's just all variations of the same thing.
Defenses have
I
don't want to say they figured it out, but yes, they've seen it all. They know how to prepare for this.
Yeah,
they know what
you're
trying to do.
There are going to be some bad defenses, lack of talent, who aren't going to be able to stop it. You're just going to overwhelm them with talent. But for well-coached defenses who have some talent, they're going to have some answers for them. That's why
Steve Spagnuolo has beaten the Shanahan offense at 10 times.
Yeah, he's not afraid.
As the Kansas City offensive coordinator,
he owns that offense. He gets stops in the Super Bowl. He gets stops when he needs them.
I was going to say
in the regular season, he beats it. Yeah,
he's so good that it's not just the Shanahan offense. He beat
Shanahan.
Shanahan original
twice.
So, yeah, I you know, Steve Spagnuolo, he's never seen the Jeff Nixon offense.
He may have no answers for it. I don't know what Brian Johnson's offense would be, but I know what his offense was in Philly. It was, hey, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, get open.
Yeah, bail us out.
And depend on this great offensive line. So I wouldn't call that very innovative. And the Texans right now don't have that level of talent to make it work at the level that it worked at in Philly.
Doesn't seem like it's applicable to – you know, we're just going to lean on our offensive line here in Philadelphia. And so in Philly, what we did was we leaned on our offensive line.
You can't that can't be an opening statement. don't open your cell with what we did in Philly. It ain't Philly here. I'll answer this before we go to break from Dream Shake. First, he quote tweeted Liam Cohen because the Duval thing is still going for him. But he asked me, do you think the Texans have a legit shot at Chip Kelly? I don't even know whether it's legit or not because they haven't interviewed him yet.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
Yeah, until they interview him, this is just a rumor that was brought to the forefront because D'Amico played under him.
Or it could have also been like, and judging how the interview candidates that they've had for this, it could have been D'Amico Ryan's talk to Chip Kelly for suggestions.
That's very
and
possible.
And he goes, Thad Lewis and Jeff Nixon.
Yeah,
and
I forgot. We didn't mention Thad Lewis in our breakdown of where people land in the Venn diagram. Yeah.
So he's a Chip Kelly guy. Yeah. I think that if I were to like try to back channel how we got to Chip Kelly, primary target.
There was a conversation.
I think they talked, like D'Amico and him talked, but it was more of a picking his brain of who to be the offensive coordinator, not named Chip Kelly.
Do you think it was D'Amico called and asked Chip if he wanted to do it? Then Chip was like, actually, no, but I've got a list.
Yes. I don't know if it was like that, you know, A, B, but it is something like
eventually
that.
Eventually worked its way to that.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it worked.
Yeah.
Just knowing how like the NFL worked.
That's not a bad assumption. So there it is, Dream Shake. I don't know that the Chip Kelly thing was ever real. And to this point, it just seems like two guys who know each other may have had a conversation and something and a report sprung from that. All right, we will go to break here. We'll be back at 11:30. We will be joined by Michael Carroll breaking down what you should or shouldn't watch. You want to call in and give suggestions about what you're watching this week, or maybe you take offense to, I don't know why you would, but maybe you disagree with something we say during that segment. You certainly can call in and discuss it, 713-780-3776. But we got one more segment before we get to that. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
His campaign started yesterday in full force with that Red Bulls hat, and he is the favorite to win the Heisman. The initial favorite, at least according to ESPN Bet, Arch Manning, your favorite to win the Heisman, followed by Nico Iamaleava, Kate Klubnik of Clemson, and Penn State's Drew Aller. So your top five is all quarterbacks, or at least your top four is all quarterbacks, not surprising. Jeremiah Smith is the first non-quarterback on the list at plus 1,500. I think And Garrett Nussmeier is in there too, so he is a part of that top five, excuse me. Jeremiah Smith is number six. Like, Travis Hunter was a unique case for all the reasons. Don't need to discuss them. Unless Arch is great, I could see Jeremiah Smith making a real run at it. They won't play against each other. They'll be on the same field, but what one does doesn't affect the other.
If Arch wants to win the Heisman,
well, yes, cover,
go shut down Jeremiah Smith at corner.
If you are as athletic as everyone says you are, Get out there and line up one on one.
If he does that for even one snap, give him the Heisman.
If he just you put Arch at corner,
and just for one snap.
Yeah, why are Heisman? Why are all the Heisman plays, the Heisman type moments, offensive plays where you run a reverse and you throw the ball back to the quarterback? You want a real Heisman moment? Put him out at corner against a great player and see what he does. And if he gets a PBU,
don't play for the rest of the year.
And then he goes,
don't play for the rest of the year.
He puts the seatbelt on, locks him up.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, no fly zone, all that stuff. So they will, that game in Columbus will be a big one. You'll see two of the five Heisman favorites. I'm not sure Nico, Cade, or Drew Aller are going to really be good enough in 2025 to keep Jeremiah Smith from being a real contender.
I could see Cade just by going like 12-1 in the AC or 11-1 in the ACC and being good. Like if he plays how he played against SMU and against Texas, if he can just do that against, you know, Boston College and Pitt. You've done it against Texas. Do it when it's cold outside in Piscataway.
Well, they host LSU.
Oh.
I think. Or maybe that's a... That's
yeah, useful. No, they do. That
game's in Tiger Stadium.
They have a Death home Valley, and home Death in the thing. Death Valleys, yeah.
Okay, who's the real Death Valley?
I don't know which one. It's so confusing. I don't know which one's which.
Which is a real Death Valley? We'll find out.
No, I don't know which one they're playing in. I might drive to Baton Rouge and they're playing in Clemson.
Well, this one you'll have to go to Clemson, South Carolina.
Okay.
Next time
I should write that on my hand like it's memento.
Don't get confused. That's
for the next 4 months.
That's their only really big game until they see South Carolina at the end of the year. Their schedule isn't one, partly because it's the ACC, where he's going to get a lot of look-at-me moments.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to have to show out against LSU.
I was hoping for a Miami game or something like that. FSU.
Not even Notre Dame.
Or are you not counting FSU as a big game? Or is FSU not on the schedule?
No team quarterback by Thomas Castellano
can
be considered a big game.
Okay.
Sorry. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, and all those other transfers they got will be better than the transfers they got this past year when they went 2-10.
Yeah.
But
they had one good transfer class, one bad one. Now they're due for one good one.
Or
Mike Norvell, Jared Verse Merchant, Jordan Travis Merchant,
Braden Fisk Merchant. He was a merchant for a lot of transfers. We'll see if Florida State has an answer for what was an awful year last year. So Kate Klubnik's going to have to be spectacular because he just doesn't have a lot of opportunities to get people excited about his performances. God,
maybe it is Nuss.
Nuss at least plays in the SEC.
Yeah, but he needs to stop throwing interceptions. That's his problem.
He played
in the SEC last year.
Threw picks. Yeah. I don't suspect that's going to change him. I don't think he's going to stop throwing interceptions. That's why I think Jeremiah Smith has a chance. Arch clear favorite. But I think the hype of him being a freshman. Yeah. And now the quarterback will likely be inexperienced, right? So
they're
not going to point to the quarterback as the reason. They're going to Jeremiah Smith. We saw him be great last year. We saw him be great this year. And I know, as I said, the Travis Hunter thing was unique, but maybe more people are going to be open to not having to give it to a quarterback because they ignored quarterbacks who
are non-quarterbacks. Yeah,
they ignored a quarterback who had. He was the quarterback of the most prolific offense in the country.
Oh, yeah, this year.
Yeah, this past year, and said, you know, we're still going to give it to the unique player. Jeremiah Smith is less unique because he doesn't play defense, but as far as his ability as a wide receiver, there are not many like him. I think that game very early, could kind of set the stage for how the rest of the year goes.
I'm kind of two minds of whether this past year's vote means that these voters are now open to not just giving it to whichever quarterback goes 11-1.
Because why not give it to Dylan Gabriel, who's the quarterback of the top team in the country all year? Didn't give it to a big brand quarterback in Cam Ward at Miami. Shadur didn't play on a good enough team.
Yeah,
and Travis Hunter, well, same team, but we know. Why he got it.
I'm just not sure if this is
a trend
or a weird blip because of all the factors that went into Travis Hunter being Travis Hunter. He plays both ways. He plays for Colorado. Deion Sanders is his head coach. Like, there's just so much attention on him where the thing with the Heisman ballot is that 1,000 people have a Heisman ballot, and so a lot of people aren't dedicated college football media members that vote on this thing. It's people that work at newspaper or, you know, in the sports section of newspapers, but they don't follow college football, where to break through the good quarterback on a good starting quarterback on a great team bias, it had to have been all the stars align with Travis Hunter. Although Ashton Jinty finished second. So yeah. I'm not sure.
And you look at the three quarterbacks beyond Arch or the four quarterbacks beyond Arch. They all, have had their warts throughout their careers, and of course they have great years that could change some of the narratives. But we've seen them all enough to know that are they really the best player in the country?
Could it be Lagway?
He's not on this board right now, but yeah, I was gonna bring that up. It could be someone who isn't even in the top six or seven or so of this particular. At least in this article. I mean, it could be someone off the board.
I think I like his, whatever his odds are, because it's the same case as the Arch case, more or less. I guess Arch is just going to be on a better team than we think Florida's going to be. But it's very similar of the highly touted recruit that we haven't seen a ton of. But the flashes are there, as opposed to, Drew Aller, who we've seen plenty of. And, guys do get better. So, one of these guys might just, put it all together. And just
yeah, I just don't know if anybody's going to be willing to put their stamp on Drew Aller being the best player in the country after seeing him as much as they've seen him.
No, I don't think Aller. I guess Nuss is more of that guy where it's like Nuss and Klubnik, where it's like we've seen him before. Maybe he comes out this year, second year starting for Nuss, third year I think for Klubnik at least.
Yeah,
third and a half maybe. Maybe this is like, oh, year two in the Garrett Riley offense. Now we see it. Young receivers getting older. I don't know. I'm high on Clemson. That's why talking about it. And maybe it's just because I saw him play very recently.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'll get to go against Nuss in their game. The start.
You
the
know
year.
What? Loser, you're out of the Heisman race. Winner,
there you go.
You're my favorite.
There you go.
There you go.
We'll get Arch or Jeremiah Smith out in their game.
Yeah, we'll get two elimination matches in week one.
We'll get Cade and
throw these guys in the trash.
Either Cade or Garrett Nussmeier out in week one as well.
Arch loses that one. Give me Trey Owens.
Oh, you're already benching Arch Manning. Okay, how quickly they turned. All right, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. He can't default to watch football. He's done that the last couple weeks. He can't do it this time. He's got to if he wants to give you a sports option, he's got to pick something else. We will see. Maybe he goes Rockets Brooklyn. Feels unlikely, but we will see. Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast, will join us when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here. He is the host of Comicast, which you can find on any podcast platform that you like to use. And I was thinking about Comicast, and I didn't want to give away what is on it because you guys talked about quite a bit. Benedict Cumberbatch revealed something. They'll talk about that if you don't know.
Then he took it back like a day later. So
he pretty much said, "Don't ever believe what I say." Yeah, don't listen to me when I say things. So that was discussed quite a bit. You can find all of that on Comicast, which is hosted by Michael Carroll and John Lee. But let's get to what you guys can or shouldn't watch, depending on Michael's opinion. So we got stuff to watch in the theaters. We got new trailers that obviously for stuff that's going to come out in the future. So what? I'll start with this, something different. What was the most intriguing thing you either saw as a trailer or something you actually watched fully this week?
Probably Paradise on Hulu right now.
I'm watching that show too.
I'm hooked.
Yeah.
It hooked me in. It was one of those shows where I saw the previews for it, like trailers and stuff. I was like, oh, okay. I'll give it a shot. Gave the first episode a shot, and it hooks in. I am waiting to tell or see the rest of the story because from the acting, from the music, from just the story itself, besides the mystery, there's two mysteries at the core of the show. The one you know from the trailers, the other one you don't know.
It's a big reveal. Yeah,
yeah. And the one in the trailer had me hooked, but then that second layer mystery kind of gets layered in, and I'm like, I'm all about this show.
So Sterling K. Brown is in it. You would know him from This Is Us.
Mm-hmm. And it's the creator, Dan Fogelman, for Paradise, is the This Is Us creator as well.
Cyclops is in it as well.
Yeah, James Marsden. Yeah.
Yeah, so all our favorites are in it. I was I had not really looked at anything about the show. It popped up on Hulu, mm-hmm. and I gave it a shot. And the initial thing wasn't a big surprise because it happened very early, and I felt like I might have seen that someplace. But
I think they say it in the trailer and
but
stuff.
But the big reveal of, and like I said, it's a reveal, so we don't give away. The show is very new. You guys just take it. I don't know if Sean has watched it, but us two like it. You can take that or leave it, but we're not going to give it away. But just to say, at least three episodes, I'm in.
The best way to go about it is just to go in not knowing too much about it. Because if you start reading all those things, I mean, I think that takes away some of the impact of what it's doing. But I've seen this comparison. There are some elements to Lost a little bit. Like, I can kind of see what they're saying. But there is a core mystery. It's not nearly as... like, oh, they're all dead on this island kind of thing. Spoiler. You know, it's hush you.
20-year-old Lost spoiler.
I know. It's a 20. I know. Can't believe. But it has kind of those elements to of a Lost type show with the mysteries that it's setting up, but it's not nearly like ghost monsters and mm-hmm. all that. So it's cool. I'm thoroughly enjoying the show.
I have some questions as someone who hasn't seen it.
Yes.
And is interested. Yes. Saw the commercial on during probably football or something.
Yes.
It's on Hulu, correct?
Correct.
Subtitles. No subtitles? Because the last Hulu show you recommended me is all subtitles.
You don't need subtitles.
It's all feudal Japan. America. Present day.
Present day, yes.
Yes. Okay. All English, very present day. All the time.
Yes.
Good. Third. Is this a week-by-week release?
It's the first three episodes are out right now on Hulu.
But it'll be weekly. And
then it's weekly from there. Every Monday, I believe, new episodes pop up.
Yeah, so you don't get to watch it in one afternoon or into the evening if you so choose.
Yeah, that not a deal breaker, but I might let a couple more stack up. And then
get to five, get to half the season, and then watch them. Okay, I respect it. That's fine.
All right.
But you get to... But I think maybe three would be enough.
I mean, three
just
was
out of
20.
Respect for Sterling K. Brown. It's more, it's less about the front end, and it's more about the I don't want to have to wait for five more weeks. You know, after watching the first five, I don't want to have to wait another month to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. You are.
I just want it all at once.
You're a child of, or excuse me, an adult.
Thank you.
Of the, of the. Well,
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
You're an adult of the binge era.
Yeah.
And understood. You have been trained by Netflix and others to get it all at a moment's notice.
Yes. Yeah. How long are these episodes, by the way?
About 40 minutes.
45, yeah, something 50, like that. Somewhere around there.
Can we get these into TikTok, you know, a couple minutes? Or?
Maybe just don't watch TV. I don't know. Maybe do something else. I don't
the
know.
Kid is killing me right now. Yeah,
I just want to do that to piss
you. Yeah. You want it vertically filmed?
So, yeah.
So I want them to say everything to me, but I could look at my phone still and just scroll.
And then every once in a while, they just like, hi, I'm so-and-so. Just remind me who you are.
Yeah. Give me some exposition so I remember who you are. Okay. So, Paradise.
Yes.
We're all in. Sean will wait a couple more weeks. All right, so we got something that's premiered, and you got episodes to watch if you want. What about the rest of the slate?
All right, since let's start with streaming since we're there,
okay?
Because I think that's the stronger grouping this week, because something you can watch fully right now, Sean, you can watch all the episodes, is Mo season 2 just premiered on Netflix. Mo, of course, Houston-based actor, comic. He did the premiere here at the River Oaks Theater this past Tuesday, I believe it was. And then he was actually at our offices on Tuesday as well. But it's a fictionalized version of Mo. And, of course, it's set in Houston. But I don't know how to fully explain the show, but it is just a well-thought-out dramatic comedy, kind of dark, but it showcases the plight of someone trying to seek asylum. He's, of course, of Palestinian heritage. And from there, like, the hilarity ensues, but also the real-life things that he struggles with. And again, this is like a fictionalized version of his life. But Mo, season 2 is on Netflix right now. And it's real good. I've seen the first three episodes.
Of season 2?
Of season 2. And it's very good.
So, Mo, we've got... So, that's streaming. That's on Netflix. Are we sticking with streaming, or do you want to go to movies?
Well, let's stick with streaming, because there's also the Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man show.
I watched the first two episodes.
I watched the first two episodes. I like them. I think they're solid. I don't love the animation, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the appeal of it, and I get the comic book, like, hearkening back to those classic comics. But I don't love. I think we've come so far in animation. Like, there's better ways to do the animation.
Yeah, it was the story's fine.
The story's
but to
solid.
Your point, the animation, I'm not blown away by it.
No.
I did notice that they're going the now it's animated, and I don't care that much, but they're going the Marissa Tomei version of Aunt May, as far as not the old Aunt May.
Yeah.
They're getting a younger, maybe not out on the town Aunt May just yet, but you know.
I think that's one of the other like nitpicks I have with the show is that there is enough through the first two episodes that harken back to Civil War Spider-Man introduction, Marissa Tomei's version of Aunt May, the way Peter meets Tony Stark, he meets Norman Osborn in the exact same way, just character swap. Like, it's just those different, like, MCU elements that I wish they kind of just forgot about and just did their own thing from the jump.
Yeah, it did seem very similar and familiar to things I've seen in the not-too-distant past, yeah.
That's the only, like, otherwise, like, the story I think is pretty interesting. The guy doing the Tom Holland voice, I don't know. I guess fine, but I don't necessarily love it. I know he's the guy that did, like, What If and everything, but I don't know. I wish it was just something completely different and away from any strings with the MCU and what the MCU has set. But it's a solid show overall so far. And it's going to introduce different characters like Aniko Menroa from Runaways. And it's introducing a lot more of the Spider-Man rogues gallery right off the jump. Not that Nico's a villain.
Yeah, but. I mean, it's going to pale in comparison to X-Men 97. That's what I'm going to compare all of Marvel's animated stuff to forward.
It's but, X-Men 97 and everything else. Yes, everything else. Right
but
now.
It is a easy watch, and if you like the Spider-Man stories, that's one that's there for you on Disney+.
First two episodes are out now on Disney+, and then I think new episodes premiere every Wednesday. Mythic Quest, I know folks are really into that show. It's a show that's kind of missed, but season 4 premieres this week. As well as another show that I've kind of missed, but I've heard of, The Recruit. Feels like in the same vein as The Night Agent a little bit.
I have seen season 1 of each, and I'm watching season 2 of Night Agent right now. Yes, you got it's very similar as far as the vibes. These this kind of out of water type, not very experienced agent gets put into a situation where they have to handle things. It's very similar. I mean, actors are...
I get very similar vibes from it. Noah Centineo is the star of The Recruit. He's a fledgling CIA lawyer who obviously, like you mentioned, he's just a CIA lawyer, but then he gets caught up in this bigger conspiracy type thing. And it's very similar as to what The Night Agent set out to. But I personally like what The Night Agent does. The Recruit, I haven't dove into it enough to say yes or no to that.
The Night Agent, and I won't give it away. There's an episode that they took a surprising turn. I was like, oh, okay, you guys got this in you. So that was a good twist for me as far as where they went. At the end of The Recruit, there is this person dead? Aren't they dead because they get shot? I don't know. I was looking at the casting for season 2, and I don't see the person who got shot, so I'm assuming they're dead. Yeah. They don't appear to be listed in season 2, so... That's just me knowing how TV works. I probably just shouldn't have looked at IMDb for that. But I'm going to watch because I'm going to give season 2 a couple of episodes to see if I like it. Because season 1 didn't end poorly for me, so I will give it a shot. But, yeah, I think Night Agent, at least right now, is ahead as far as the two very similar Netflix shows.
Yeah.
One's an FBI agent, one's a CIA agent. And
very, very interesting that they release like a week apart from each other.
Yeah, I don't remember them being that close. When season 1's released for both shows.
Yeah, it feels like maybe hold off on The Recruit a little bit just to give The Night Agent a little bit more breathing room, or vice versa. Either way, I don't know. There's also You're Cordially Invited, the film, the Prime Video film starring Will Ferrell and I believe Reese Witherspoon, where it's two families that set up the wedding at the same venue on the same weekend. And, you know, of course, hilarity ensues. Maybe wait on that. It's not looking good so far.
Yeah, it's Amazon Prime. But we would say don't rush to your TV to watch that. Pick something else and, you know, default to that if there's nothing else that you like.
If you're a big Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon fan, you're probably all about it. But, like, at this point, maybe skip on that one.
So not strong reviews for look, I'm not a Will Ferrell person. I understand that he makes a lot of people laugh. I'm not one of them.
Not an Elf person?
No, I've never watched Elf.
Never?
That's why you're not a Will Ferrell.
Wow.
Step Brothers?
Eh.
Talladega Nights?
It's fine.
Wow.
It's not I've seen it, but I've felt no need to rewatch it.
Yeah. What about that one? Oh, I forget the name of it, where he did the whole movie in Spanish.
I know which one you're talking about, too. I saw that one.
I went to the theater with a friend and watched that one.
That's how much pull Will Ferrell had back in the day.
Yeah.
He did not wave his mystic powers in front of me and get me to watch things. I was never...
Dawn of the Dead? Or never. No, not Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dinosaurs or whatever none that one it. Was with Danny McBride.
None of it.
Oh, yeah. I know which one. I know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, Dawn of something. I forget the name of it offhand. That's another one I watched in theaters.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
He really had you guys locked in.
Yeah, he did.
Couldn't
he really
get me.
Did. Could not he had get the me. Game in a chokehold.
Yeah. For about what? We're talking maybe...
like a decade.
A decade, yeah. Right. Land of the Lost is what you're talking
Land
about.
Land of the Lost. That's what it was, yeah.
Wasn't it based off of like a kid show?
Based off...
I couldn't tell.
I think it was like an old show that it was based off of.
Okay. So Land of the Lost is something neither you or... maybe you did enjoy, Sean. Did you enjoy Land of the Lost?
I think that's when I started to be like, you know what? He's not all hits. He is a human.
I remember being like, there was only one joke that I kind of liked in that. And then that was, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Sherlock Holmes movie he made a couple years ago with John C. Reilly?
Yeah. Do they have beef now? John C. Reilly and him?
I don't know.
I feel
maybe.
Like I...
Oh, because of the Lakers show.
Yeah.
He wanted to play Jerry Buss. Farrell wanted to play Jerry Buss, and they gave it to John C. Reilly.
So now there's beef between
So he
the...
took issue with him because another guy won the part?
Yes.
Yeah, apparently.
That's mature. Because it's John C. Reilly's fault you didn't get the job, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it might be with Adam McKay, who ran the show.
That would make more sense.
And they kind of worked as a threesome.
A
comedic throuple,
okay.
So to speak.
Okay.
And
it tore them apart because John C. Reilly got the job?
No. Everyone had to pick a side.
No.
And the two guys that worked together picked the same side.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell picked his own side.
Imagine how that happened. All right. So Land of Lost, yes, it was an old TV show from the 70s.
Yeah.
So we've got some things you should or shouldn't watch at home. What about things you might be able to watch in the theater?
If you go to the theaters, I'm going to recommend another horror movie as the top pick for the weekend. Companion from Noon Line Cinema. As their tagline goes, the studio that brought you The Notebook and the unhinged creators of The Barbarian cordially invite you to experience a new kind of love story. Of course, that stars Jack Quaid. I don't have the rest of the cast in front of
Sophie
me.
Sophie Thatcher, maybe the female lead. She was in Heretic, the movie with what's his name? Guy who got caught with the hook.
Hugh Grant.
Sorry, it's the only way I can get to the name. Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant was in it. He played a really creepy individual who trapped two.
I think you killed Sean.
Trapped two missionary types in his house. It's a good horror movie. So she apparently that's her thing. She's also one of the stars of Yellow Jackets as well. So Sophie Thatcher, if you've seen those things, you're probably going to recognize her face in The Companion. Is it getting good reviews?
94% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. Both critics and audiences both are enjoying the film
so
far.
If you like a good horror movie, apparently there's one out there for you, right?
Yeah, last week was Presence. This week it's Companion. It's getting very, very good reviews. So I would recommend that for horror fans out there. It is a limited release, so you might have to look around for movie times. Valiant 1 is the only wide release, but I'm not going to recommend that one. This is the first time I'm hearing of this, like, I guess, spinoff of the.
Oh, you don't want to recommend a movie led by Chase Stokes from, what was the name of that show again?
exactly. No.
Outer Banks.
Yeah, no.
The star of Outer Banks is in a military movie. You're not recommending it?
No. And I like, I think it's Lana Condor's in the movie as well. I like Lana Condor, but I'm not recommending this movie.
Okay.
There's also a Dog Man. Have you heard of
it? I have not heard of Dog
Man. I've heard of Dog Man. I watched the Nickelodeon broadcast of Texans Chargers. So
why is that on brand for you today?
I don't know. That's not great.
Pete Davidson.
Not great showing. Say.
But Dog Man is it's from the world of the Captain Underpants or whatever it is.
Sure.
Love it.
It's a family movie. A faithful police dog and his human police officer are injured together.
Mm-hmm.
So they...
whatever you say, man.
There's a life-saving surgery to fuse the two of them together.
Yeah.
So
that part in the trailer made me look up for my phone. I will say that.
So the only way to save their lives was to fuse them together?
A dog head on a human body.
Yeah.
Huh.
More or less.
Basically.
Pete Davidson's playing said dog man?
No, he's playing the villain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's Petey the Cat.
A dark turn for
the
Pete
cat.
Davidson.
A villain. Of course, Petey the Cat's the villain. Did Petey the Cat put the previous, when they were separated, did he help lead them to this?
Oh, yeah. He engineered the accident.
Yeah, that brought these two together.
This officer. I mean, wondering why the dog was a police officer. Now it makes sense.
Now it makes sense. They didn't
touch on that in the trailer.
Well, I don't know if Petey set up the accident or whatever that caused them to fuse together, but he is planning to clone himself, so they have to fight that.
Here's a tag. Part dog, part man, all hero.
It's a good tagline.
It's not bad.
Good tagline.
So if you want to take your kids out to Dog Man.
How are you going to explain to them?
I have no idea.
Are they going to show the fusion itself?
No, they're not. I think they're going to go into a hospital room as two, and then they're going to.
It's like a scene out of The Pit. Yeah. Just somebody get fused
blood
together,
all over
blood
the,
everywhere.
The gloves of this doctor, who is a human, I'm assuming.
Side note. The Pit, I watched episode 5 last night. Mm-hmm. There, the character Whitaker just getting sprayed every episode with some kind of fluid is just the running gag that I'm all about at this point. It is brutal for this guy. Has to get new scrubs every week, pretty much.
I'm still on episode 3, but I'm going to get to it.
Definitely
been
get
a little
to
ill
it.
This week.
Get to
I haven't
it,
watched a lot of stuff.
You got to get to it.
All right. That music means we're done. Thank you, Michael Carroll, for the recommendations and in some cases telling us what not to watch. Valiant, don't watch it.
Don't watch that one.
I can't. Yeah, I'm looking at. I looked at even just some of the stills from the movie. Nope. Out. I'm out on it. Don't even have to watch a trailer. We're done. Michael Carroll hosts a Comicast. He does that show with John Lee. You can hear it in podcast form. What about this week? You guys going to be on 97.5 this week?
I believe so. Yeah.
Wednesday
at 8.
Wednesday at 8 here on ESPN 97.5. You can hear Comicast. Sean, thank you. We're done for the week. So what does that mean?
That's what I do. Dumb it into pain.
That is right. Alperen Şengün, an all-star. Congratulations to Alperen Şengün. Gallant and George are up next. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.